We are the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Well, let's just say the 6 o'clock news will never be the same again. The days of Walter Cronkite and three network channels has long passed. Well, journalism has morphed into news, opinion, and ideological rants, all passed off as unbiased, honest news. This is Malcolm Out Loud here. So your search continues for the Out Loud truth. I get it. Well, here it won't be just the news. It'll be how we discuss the news. A drive time show you can count on weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We call it Nozzle. World news, political talk, stories that impact your health. Honor our heroes, stories that'll inspire you. What you'll hear next is the heartbeat of the people. The hottest topics, the news stories that trend. It's time, friends, for a new stream of consciousness. It's Nozzle.
You think about President Trump, and he doesn't get any credit for promoting and supporting women out there. In fact, there are a lot of people who take him down on that premise. And yet, you know, I see a story that comes over the newswire today, early today, and it caught my attention. And listen to this. So he has nominated the first African-American woman for promotion to general. How's that?
Awesome.
That is awesome. That is amazing. So this is in the Marine Corps, Colonel Lorna Mahlock, I believe they pronounce that, M-A-H-L-O-C-K, Mahlock, yeah. She'll be promoted to the rank of Brigadier General, if confirmed. The U.S. Department of Defense has announced this. And she is currently now the Deputy Director of Operations, Plans, Policies, and Operations Directorate at the Marine Corps Headquarters in Washington. But that kind of floored me. I thought, wow, what is it with this? That's a great story. That's a great story. You know, I almost would like to see, and I thought today coming on with you guys, with Jim and Ava, and I thought, you know, Jim, we got to start with a positive news story, because we never start with we start with, you know, the worst stuff. Well, wouldn't you like to see the 6 o'clock news start with, hey, we got some good news for you. Isn't that good news, Jim McKay?
Absolutely. You know, the Marine Corps is very, very shallow in terms of the number of ranks they have. Mm-hmm. And when they make somebody a general, that is a tremendous accolade for that individual.
That's a big deal.
Marine Corps is run by the non-coms. They're the closest guys, you know, right, to the troops out there. In the those sergeants are the people that run the Corps. Mm-hmm. And then above them, there's not many layers. And the number of flag officers in the Marine Corps is very, very limited.
Well, taking that further, Jim, and what you're saying, I read here that women make up just 8% of the Marine Corps, actually. If you're just 8%, buddy, you know.
I think it's a proud achievement for this woman, and I think it will give many other women, you know, that feeling that they can do it too. I mean, she's going to be one smart, tough lady.
Well, you have to be to live in this world. I mean, that is definitely a man's world when you're talking about less than 8%. And you got to remember the strides that women have made in the military to begin with, guys. I mean, this is no small feat. And to rise to a general, that puts her in, you know, esteemed company. And she's an African-American woman at that. She's not just a woman. She's an African-American woman. She looks like she's amazing here. And I see her in a picture here talking to all the guys here in the Marines, the U.S. Marines. But, you know, you won't hear this. He will get no credit for this, though, will he?
No.
Absolutely none.
It's funny that you say that, too, Malcolm, because I was watching the news last night, and I was thinking, wow, there's some really great, employment numbers and all kinds of things that are going on. Right. But not one news channel was talking about that.
No. And it really caught me today. I got to share that with our listeners so they realize that, you know, again, listen, you know, I love to see strong people get promoted, but a strong woman like this and a strong, African-American woman like this is a beautiful thing. And again, it's your president, people out there, President Trump, who has done this. I mean, he's the one that is nominating her, who's put this in place. So, you know, you didn't see that in the last administration, did you know?
No,
I'm just saying, not being a total wise guy here. But yeah.
And at the same time, his nomination of the woman at the CIA to take over the agency was immediately attacked by the mainstream media. You know, that she's too mean, she's too this, she's too that. all the stuff. And here's a woman, 32 years, served in every capacity possible in the CIA, leading areas of the bureau, of the agency in the Far East and everything, done everything. And the media attacks her only because it's Trump nominating her. I would, you know, so that's very, very indicative of the way the media operates. Somebody's going to come out and attack this woman. Maybe not because they would take a racial hit on it because she is a minority, but otherwise they'd be in her face on this, guaranteed.
And we've been talking about that on the program here and on the platform about her. Gina Haspel, you're speaking of, she's the new director of the CIA, you know, she's well-loved, she's got a lot of support. I don't see how they're going to hold her back. And speaking of right now, today, the other big news story that's hot today, friends, is, of course, Mike Pompeo is in the hot seat. We'll talk about that today as well. But I want to go, before we get to Pompeo and Ryan and all the other news, and there is a ton to cover here today on the program, I want to go over to this Trans-Pacific, the TPP, if you will, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. This was kind of a big story today, again, that I want to focus on here. So President Trump came out and he's talking about reversing course now and proposes rejoining the TPP. And this caught a lot of people aghast. They said, what? And they just couldn't believe it. So it stunned a lot of folks. What do you think?
I think it's great news because I think he will create the TPP. I don't think he'll just join the TPP. I think Trump's the kind of guy that will have his hand in making the rules and regulations involving trade. And that's a good thing.
Jim, are you in favor of this?
Absolutely. You know, absolutely, because Trump, like Ava's saying, he'll have his hands in the whole thing. I mean, he didn't join it in the other things, hasn't, you know, acquiesced to the Chinese or the South Koreans or anybody in Asia, for that matter, in the European markets and stuff. So he'll put his own imprints on it, and then they'll have an organization there, a treaty that'll benefit us as well as the Asian countries.
Right, right. Now, this has everything to do with supporting our agricultural, our farmers, you know that. And this is tied to a lot of, because what's happened now is he's been pushing China so hard on trade, and you've heard some of that backlash coming back to, well, it's going to hurt the farmers. You've been hearing that a lot in recent days here, right? That was the one group they were most worried about, correct? Right?
Soybeans.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's two sides to those agricultural tariffs and exports. If you look at the price of wheat, which is also another big export commodity, and soybeans, and what it was before we got into very heavy exports on it to the Far East and also to Europe and to Africa, we export agricultural products around the world. A loaf of bread was in the neighborhood of 69 to 99 cents at the retail level. When we started exporting tremendously, price of wheat products in the United States more than doubled.
Wheat's not good for you anyways, Jim. Wheat's not good. Stay away from wheat. Well, it's not good for you, right? Too much wheat and you end up fat in the waist.
Gotta have your French baguettes, you know, and I'm sorry, wheat goes into
that. Wheat goes into a lot of stuff, but it's just no good. Let me tell folks as well that 25 Republican senators sent a letter to President Trump urging him to re-engage with this. So this had a fair amount of support, and we knew that it did. Not everybody was happy when he was talking about pulling out of this thing. Jim, isolate for me. I mean, I think it's tied to the agricultural, the farmers, and the push he's been doing with China. Is that the reason in your mind, or is there another reason why he's re-engaging with TPP?
I think it's an effort to keep the Pacific Rim engaged with the United States and not to let China get this overarching sphere of influence, drawing these countries in where they look towards China and not towards the United States. China is doing this in a tremendous, tremendous an expenditure going in and supporting industry, whether it's in Southeast Asia or in Africa. They're spending billions of dollars trying to extend their sphere of influence. I mean, look what they're doing defensively in the South China Sea. Mm-hmm. So they'll have control over those sea lanes. The tariffs on the U.S. make China's goods look better and more welcomed into Southeast Asia. And China is doing a tremendous amount of stuff behind the scenes that the public and the media never sees nor realizes. And Trump is smart. He can't let that region fall under the Chinese umbrella.
Well, I think what keeps everybody unglued is that he doesn't follow one path. And this just throws them for a ringer. They still don't get the whole idea of how he deals and wheels and, you know, how he does all this stuff. So they get all caught up in this thing, guys. You know, it's like, oh, how can he do that? I mean, I see a lot of the reports on the Times and the Post and all these others, and they have a conniption. How he's changing his mind. But, you know, there's always a rhyme and reason for it. And this is how you, you negotiate, I guess, more or less, you know. Yep. Of course, he's doing it right out in the open, and that's what surprises people. But he's kind of that way. You know, Eva, this is a very different presidency because he is, we talk all the time about these administrations, about being transparent or not transparent, but this appears to be a very transparent administration. I mean, you kind of know with his Twitter feed what the hell he's thinking at any moment of the day, you think?
Exactly. People want a president who connects with the American people, who speaks their language.
Right.
Here he is, you know, please love him. Okay.
Yeah, that's what what people have been most attracted to, Eva, is that is very, very unusual. And they like that part of the Trump phenomenon, if you will, is coming from the fact that he's so different. Again, the word I want to use for you all time and time again, and you've got to think of again him and think of historically, he's a disruptor again. And you just got to remember, anytime you're going to do something major, if you're really going to do something like I'm talking revolutionary, or you're going to not only fix things, but you're going to, you know, move the ball forward and reinvent things, it always comes through disruption, guys. Always disruption. Remember that word. So you got to remember, Trump is a disruptor. That's how he looks at all this stuff, and that's how he comes in. But that's kind of how you reinvent the wheel again. That's where the sweet stuff is in that mode of disruption. Well, Pompeo is big in the news today. His confirmation hearings are for Secretary of State. Again, we were just talking about Gina Haskell a moment ago here, and that she should be the CIA director, providing that all goes through. There's been a lot of talk about them giving her a hard time. Got some interesting tweets I want to read on Pompeo again, and there's some interesting people who are not going to support him. And there's somebody in particular that is a four-letter word, a senator, that I don't think he says yes to much, I'll tell you. I'll tell you who that is in a moment as well. And very interesting with Syria today as well, guys. I don't know if you all seen this report, but an MIT expert comes out and claims that the latest chemical weapon attack in Syria was completely staged, that it's not what you think it is. I want to talk about that a moment and see if you guys have something to say about that as well. And, of course, Devin Nunes and the committee got the papers. I don't know what the hell they're doing with the papers yet. We haven't heard much about it yet. But they got some of the report that he said he better have them by Wednesday night. I guess that kind of worked, guys, when he said he's going to impeach Christopher Wray and stooge Rod Rosenstein. I was hoping he impeached them. I was hoping he didn't get it, actually.
It's not all good, though. It's not all good. He got redacted documents.
But it's just redacted what was supposed to be redacted by law, supposedly, Ava. I don't think there was that. Yeah. I understand it was an okay redaction. I didn't. You think that's a problem? Yeah,
it is.
Wow.
Yes, they needed totally unredacted.
We'll talk about that as well. I understand that they have to. We'll discuss that as well. I'm not sure that we're all on the same page with that one, but we'll talk about it and see. Also, very interesting, couple of reports on Paul Ryan. He had an interview today with CBS I want to touch on as well. Also, Axios reports that he may be forced to leave speakership by summer. And there's some other organizations reporting that as well, based on the fact that that cat's already out of the bag as well. And don't look now, people, but James Comey is coming, and I'm not buying that book, I'm telling you. But he's going to have that
TV show already.
He's got that. I'm not buying the book, Jim. You buy it, Jim, and you read it to me and tell me what he said. But I'm not wasting my $20. Sorry, kids. I'm not giving it to James Comey fund of ignorant, stupid asses. I'm not doing it. So. So he has an interview with George Stamnopoulos, and he I think everyone's probably going to watch that interview. I don't think it's going to be a well-watched interview.
I'm going to force myself to watch it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, I totally get that, Ava. Totally, totally get that. Also, there is now closer than ever to California being split into three. I want to tell you there's a billionaire who's moving that forward, and I'm going to tell you that as well. But listen, at the top of nozzle here, let's do our formal introductions and a couple of voices you've probably heard once or twice before. Let's start with Jim McKay. Jim McKay, we're going to give you the 15 seconds today, and Ava the 14, so you start, bro.
Okay. I'm political commentator and thorn in Malcolm's side during shows.
We
and
love you for
also,
that.
And when we're producing Viewpoint on the Sunday shows. That's all I'm going to say. I'll yield the floor.
Oh, boy. The rest, you're pleading the fifth? You're taking the fifth on the rest? Is that it?
You know? Absolutely. Yes, yeah. Pleading the fifth.
But you're kind of a thorn that is, Ava, he's an affectionate kind of thorn, though. You know what I'm saying? There's a difference between a thorn that's thorny and a thorn that's affectionate. Jim's kind of an affectionate thorn, right?
Yeah, he's very cuddly.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yep.
And, of course, we're here with Ava Armstrong. And, Ava, please, you take the bulk of Jim's time, please. Read us a short story.
I'm an author on Amazon, and I have 15 published books right now, and I'm working on three more. And I'm also a Viewpoint This Sunday producer, and I hang out on Nozzle, and I want to be a Nozzle nerd.
You are a Nozzle nerd. This is what you all are, is Nozzle nerds. Ava, what's one of the titles of your new books, those three you keep talking about? Give me a title of one. Do you know the title of one of them?
Yes, I know all of the titles.
Okay, well, give us like the biggest one out of those three that you're most excited about.
The Photograph.
Oh, The Photograph.
That's,
Okay.
That's about a guy who is, he was a famous sniper, and he killed a very high value target terrorist, and he had a long career, and he got a Medal of Honor, which was very, very much publicized, and he becomes very famous, and I'm writing about what comes with the fame, and it's not pretty.
Wow, I thought you were going to say there was a high-targeted media guru who created a whole show and a network, and I started to gulp twice with that, and he got assassinated. I thought, oh, man, we're in trouble. More Nozzle in just a moment.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Confirmation hearings are today for Secretary of State. And of course, everybody believes. I mean, listen, if you're going to be a CIA director and get confirmed for that, there should be no problem with getting confirmed as Secretary of State. I mean, what could be, you know, more important than a CIA director? I mean, this sounds like you'd have to get, you know, you'd have to go through more of a rigorous process for a CIA director, guys, than you would Secretary of State. But I don't know. That's how I always thought that. But so I don't think they're going to be able to stop at all these proceedings. Do you, Ava? They're not going to be able to do anything to Mike.
Oh, no. I listened to some of his testimony. I thought it was excellent. He gave all the right answers. And Mike Pompeo has this just wonderful little way about
demeanor,
him.
Demeanor. He's got a great demeanor.
Yes, just sweet. I mean, you just want to kiss him, you know?
You love sweet guys. You really do. You just
I do.
Yeah, you are. You're all about
well,
that.
Well, I'm a lover, you know? I'm a lover, not a fighter.
That's
you know?
It. We're all lovers here, not fighters, but except Jim. But everybody else qualifies here, so.
She tends to ignore me when I bring those things up.
Yeah, exactly. So, listen, this is, he is got a great demeanor to him, Pompeo does. I think he's going to be, I'm going to predict right now to you, right up front here, he's going to be one of the most successful Secretary of States we've had on record.
I believe so. Yeah, I do.
Jim, is that a lie or do you believe me?
I think so. He is a very intelligent man.
Yeah.
He has a great demeanor. The way he was answering and both rebuffing the questions this morning
Exactly.
during it, he was doing it with a certain amount of finesse, not to insult the question. And there were some really stupid questions out
Well,
there.
but Jim, that takes finesse. That takes a major amount of finesse. You know that. I mean, what I'm saying is he's the original fox, Jim, you know? And you know, you've got to outsmart these cats, you know? And again, he didn't graduate top in his class and they over there for nothing. I mean, he's a brilliant man, you know? I mean,
Yeah, coming through West Point, number one in the class takes not only smarts, it takes intestinal fortitude. I mean, because you have to put up with a lot of crap going through the military academies. And
Definitely.
it's teaches you discipline, loyalty, strength, chain of command, all those things that you need is now, I mean, you can call him a politician because you're now in the political arenas, but he's actually not. I mean, he's a member of the staff, chief of staff being the president. He's Secretary of State, so that cabinet is shaping up as a very, very strong organization now that Trump's getting all the people that he really thinks are important for him to do his job in
Jim,
place.
when you say intestinal fortitude, is that your polite gentleman way on the news to say he's got big balls? Is that what you're saying? What does that mean, really? Explain to us
I
what that
think,
means, please, in your terms.
well, he's going to have to put up a lot of crap from both parties, because never make anybody happy in the State
Exactly.
Department.
Yeah.
And he's going to have to put up with a lot of stuff from ambassadors, heads of state, all the people he sees around the world, and to be the president's advocate in a lot of these places. And so he has to be a strong-willed individual, and he is. He demonstrates that at the CIA, and now he's doing it in these hearings, and I think he'll do an excellent job as Secretary of
All right, well, let
State.
me tell folks a couple of things here as well. So he declined to answer really any of the questions about the investigation. He was questioned a lot about Mueller, and I mean a lot. They were really grilling him on that, including one, listen to this, guys, about whether he agreed with President Donald Trump's assessment that the Mueller probe is a witch hunt. What the hell do you think it is? I mean, what kind of a question is that? I mean, no, for real though, what kind of a question is that? Is it, what do you, I mean, do the, why do they have a right to ask that question, guys? Why?
Well, they're trying to provoke
Yeah,
a
but why,
reaction.
Ava? Of course, if they know the answer to that, even the dumb people who ask that question know it's a witch hunt. Right or wrong?
Exactly.
I mean, when any job interview you sit for, I
Right.
can tell
Right.
you get asked stupid
See,
questions
that's
like
why I
that.
could never
And they
interview.
want to, well, they want to provoke some kind of response from you. And if you're smart,
Right.
you give them answers like Mike Pompeo did today.
Right. I guess.
When
What?
you look at Congress is 85% lawyers. They've all
Ignorant.
been to law school. And they have one thing, an adversarial education. What they want to do is they want to ask questions, piss people off, and get them to agree with their side, regardless if their side has any merit to it or not. And when they start asking these stupid questions, and the thing that gets me aggravated more than anything is when Senator A asked the question, Senator B asked something else, Senator C asked the same question as Senator A, and you go down the line in the repeating of
Yeah.
these dumb,
Oh, it's ridiculous. You
dumb
can't even
questions.
watch that stuff. You'd rather watch
Well,
paint dry than watch that. You know, it's
the
terrible.
one more comment too. These
Yeah.
things are televised, and this is a chance for
It's
these
true.
senators to really try
Yeah.
to make themselves look kind of grandiose, you know? So you
Yeah.
have to understand they're playing for the camera, my dear, you know?
Yeah, they are playing for the camera. I guess you're right in that way, but you know, it's still the questions are so lame. And you know, I got to tell you both, it just dawned on me a moment ago that I've always credited our framers with doing a brilliant thing in the Constitution, but I'm not so sure I agree with this anymore, guys, because I'm not really feeling the framers did us right, because had they done us right, they would have had a major stipulation in there that would have said no attorneys could run for United States Congress.
Well,
That would have been part of the Constitution, Jim.
There weren't a lot of them around when they wrote the Constitution.
That's right. That's right.
Right.
Well, we'd have been a hell of a lot better off if we kept, you wouldn't have a swamp if we kept all the leeches out of there, you know, but when you put the attorneys in there, you let them do what they're doing, and then that's what you got. Hey, let me tell you a couple of tweets here. I want to, these tweets are something else, and you guys want to get your opinion on a couple of these here. So Bill comes out and says, listen to this one, Hillary Clinton is urging Mike Pompeo to keep on career diplomats at the State Department. How about no, Bill says, drain the swamp. I mean, can you believe that she would even consider it? I don't know where that's, where, in what forum she asked that or what have you, but that's the problem, is these career diplomats in all of it. I mean, the State Department, the Department of Justice, the FBI, and, you know, even in Peter Pan's playground. You need to get rid of them all, you know? Done.
Well, I would have loved to have one of the senators ask him, what do you think 84,000 people at the State Department do? Is that enough? Or is that too many?
Exactly. Can you believe that, Jim? Can you believe
really?
That? I mean, that's some kind of employment group. I mean, hell, I'm just looking for eight people that can hold a match in a dark room. Shit, I'd be happy to have those people, man. You know, 85,000. Wow. Anyway, so let me tell you what Red says. His tweet says, Red says, I have to sit here and look at that pig, corrupt, evil Menendez from my state, grill a good man like Mike Pompeo, and watch Rand Paul vote no. Does he ever vote yes? That's what I was alluding to before. I know you like Rand Paul, Ava, but he is a bit of a turd. Admit that.
Well, he's very outspoken. He's libertarian, and you have to understand what libertarian.
What does that get, what
like.
Does that mean, libertarian? Does that give you a chance to be mentally incapacitated? What does that mean?
Well,
is that a license to say no? What?
No, I know Rand Paul. I can channel his thoughts and feelings right now. Okay, he is an anti-war guy. Okay, he's anti-involvement in anything. He's an isolationist. That's what libertarians are.
I know.
They don't want to get involved anywhere with anything. And
which is why he doesn't want Pompeo, of course, because, you know.
That's what his wife keeps saying about him.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Rand Paul is, he's more of a constitutional conservative. So, you know, this is just his belief system.
Well, Red's not happy with him. He says he never votes yes on anything.
But you know what?
What?
But you know what?
What?
We're assuming that Rand Paul's going to vote no.
Right.
But we don't know that yet.
He'll vote no.
We don't know that.
Yeah. Well, you're the one. Every time he does this kind of thing, I'm going to blame you, Ava, because you like him a lot, and I like him less than you like him. do you like him, Jim?
I think Rand Paul will vote yes to get it through committee if it comes down to that.
Yeah.
And he'll vote no on the floor if it looks like that they'll have enough Democrats to go along.
See, the problem with Rand, Jim, listen, listen, guys. You can sit on your high horse and vote on principle all the time. But, you know, Ava, the truth of the matter is, let's be honest and real here. If you're going to vote on principle all the time, you're probably not going to get anything done in Congress at all, period, because it just simply doesn't work.
That's exactly why I'm not a libertarian, okay? That's why I call myself a constitutional conservative.
Right.
I lean very close to Rand Paul's camp,
right,
but I'm not completely in it. Does that make sense?
Of course it does.
Because of what you just said.
Yeah.
You need to have a coalition. You know, like the Freedom Caucus guys, okay?
Yeah.
I know I keep talking about them, but they're my heroes. They're holding this whole republic
together
right now.
You should write a book about them.
They're superheroes. They should have, like,
capes
some
on their
things.
Back.
They should have things in the store for kids to buy to
flying
look
through
up
the
to
air,
these guys.
Yes. The Freedom Caucus. Dun, dun, dun.
They're awesome.
You could even
they
add
really
Jim
are.
McKay in your book to that group and make him feel good. He'd feel really good to be part of that group. Right, Jim? Right,
he'd look cute in tights and a cape.
Who, Jim or Mike Pompeo? Which one? I'm lost.
Both of them, actually.
All right, you want them all in tights and capes? Ought to be interesting. The whole Congress. We ought to make them do that when they do these hearings. You know, that'd be really cool. Now that'd be worth watching on C-SPAN. Right?
I love it.
Right?
I love it.
Put them all in capes and tights, Jim.
Get the ratings up.
Oh, man. You'd have everybody looking at that thing, you know? Really. Well, the emperor has no clothes, right? I mean, make them all look foolish. What the hell, right? All right, let me get through these other tweets here. So Mike says, the way the Democrats are treating Mike Pompeo during this hearing is truly repulsive. These leftists have no respect. They ought to be ashamed of themselves. Liberals really do disgust me, and the behavior of Pompeo is reprehensible. They're vile. Pompeo will be a great SOB. SOS, I mean. SOS. Not SOB. SOB. All right, so that's that tweet. Doug says, listen to this one. Under the Bush-Obama policies, the number of nations, Christians and Muslims, live together in peace has diminished drastically. Now, you hear what I just said, guys. Doug says this. Under Bush Obama, which to me is the same administration. The lines blur so much there. But the policies, the number of nations, Christians and Muslims, live together in peace has diminished drastically. This Doug is praying that Trump's choice for Secretary of State, Mr. Pompeo, will bring peace for people of all faiths. What do you both say to that?
Well, it's a lovely platitude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you just have to understand that, you know, you have different factions that are, you know, they're not agreeing with one another. So it's very difficult sometimes to put two cultures side by side and expect them to just automatically get along. Mm-hmm. One culture will have to submit to the other one.
Well,
that's generally how it goes, honey.
Then the Muslims are going to have to submit to the Christians in this case. Sorry, love. God is bigger than Allah.
But I'm just saying, it usually goes that way. And although I just read an article the other day about how many churches have closed in the UK, mm-hmm. and how many mosques have been built, yeah. and it was a stunning number.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I seen a report the other day about murders and crime in the UK as well, and that they were having some real problems out there. And I'd watched a couple of reports on that, I think from the BBC, in fact. And it really, you know, and it got me angry, Eva, because I was sharing with you when I was at these meetings there this last week, this lady got really ripping mad with me because she said I called her honey or love in an affectionate way in some conversation. And she got up there and she just said we're lunatics in America and that she doesn't think we should have guns here. And that look at how successful Europe is, that they're doing fabulous out there. And I was wondering what kind of a drug she's on, you know? And, I mean, she got really upset with me.
You have to understand Europe's view of the United States. You really have to. I mean, they just think we are just really out there, you know? We're just
wild west.
We're cowboys here, okay? We've got boots on and guns and, you know, And we're crazy people compared to...
Well, it's a different culture then. I mean, we came from them. We're their child. We were birthed from them. You see, we're like Rosemary's child. We're the child of Rosemary, maybe. Well, no, that was the devil. That's not nice, Jim. Right?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit different from that. I think the Europeans that sit up on their high horses, not Westerns, but just. The political and the royalty and aristocracy of Europe look down on us about that we're the generators of pornography and and terribly behavior and everything, mm-hmm. and that we've culturally exploited decadence and materialism to a new height around the world. And frankly, we exported that idea to the world by our State Department basically threw money around. We were going to be the friends of the world after Vietnam by throwing money at everybody. We were the worst nation in the world. We went into Southeast Asia. We fought there for 10 years, and we were just this warmongering country. And then all of a sudden after that, it was the State Department taking money and handing it out like gumdrops to every country around the world. And all these countries are looking at us and saying, gee, look, they think they can buy anything. They think they're so great and so wonderful. And then Obama comes on and onto the scene, and he endorses that entire image of the United States and saying, we apologize for everything we've done for the last 40 years as a country. We're terrible. We're decadent. We're horrible. We're going to bow down to you. And by the way, we're going to follow. We're going to get out of your way now, let you lead. And we want to be just like you are. And
well, Jim, at least he apologized for your sins, Jim. I mean, what the hell? At least he apologized, right?
Not my sins. He was apologizing for his own Democrats in power. In the way the United States for 40 years.
I hear you. You just said pornography, exploitation, and in the paragraph, and I want to talk, based on you opening up that door,
I have to disagree with something he said, though.
Okay, please.
Just for one second. Europeans view us as Victorian, okay?
Okay.
They view Europe as very open and free and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And America is the one that's all uptight, and we're Victorian. We're very, uptight about
it. Yeah, but if Americans are so uptight, then why the sexual indications and the pornography and all the comments that Jim just said? That doesn't add up.
No, but I'm telling you from a European standpoint, that's how they view us.
Well, I thought that's what you were saying, Jim. They thought
we're the nouveau rich. Okay, we don't know what to do with our money, and we're gauche. Horrible people. You know, we don't know how to live a life.
Yeah, I was saying that we exported that to the rest of the world, not necessarily to Europe. I mean, if you look at pornography coming out of Europe, it will shock your, you know. Way beyond Stormy and her stuff.
It makes us look Victorian.
Well, then, so what are they so stuck up for on that point? Then I don't understand, really, honestly.
When Clinton was fooling around, they asked the French premier what brand of cigar did he use? Exactly.
Is that it?
He says more power. He was saying more power to him. This is great.
That's right. I remember that.
Yeah. More power to him that the press is doing that. They're probably loving the whole Trump Stormy narrative to begin with. They're laughing like hell about it.
Oh, my God. These people in America are just so up. Like Ava was saying, yes, people in America are so uptight when you look at, you know, the European media.
Right.
But again, you still have the kings and queens over there that look at a lot of the stuff we do and
I think that's what we need, Jim. I think we're missing a king and queen here. I really do think we're missing that. That's where America
really bizarre is we left all of that, came here and created a country. And what do? We create a royalty. We do. That's what we've done in Hollywood. And in the White House, and, you know, Barack Obama and Michelle Obama were a king and a queen, okay, to America. Because look how they were treated.
Well, I mean, sure, hypothetically through the media, but I'm talking about a real king and queen, a monarch. And maybe that's what we're missing in this country. We have nobody to, we don't have a pope here that lives here. We don't have a king or queen. We don't have any pharaohs. We only have a president that's elected. Maybe we need somebody of a higher order.
Yeah, well, maybe it could be you, Malcolm.
Mr. Allowed. There you go. I tell you, it's my dream come true. Listen, I want to tell you this story about Pope Francis, since he was talking about pornography, exploitation, and sexual perverts. I'd like to talk about the Pope. Can I do that?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
So he came out yesterday, and this story just tripped me up. He said that, just listen to this now. I just can never digest all this stuff properly. He says that he admits they've made grave errors, the Catholic Church now. Now, how many times have you heard this line, people? I mean, they've made grave errors in judgment in the Chilean sex abuse scandal down in Chile there. And they invited the victims that he had discredited to Rome to beg their forgiveness. That he, you know, this is the whole deal. Now, in an extraordinary public letter he put out there, the Pope, He summoned all of Chile's bishops to the Vatican for an emergency meeting in the coming weeks now to discuss the scandal, which has tarnished the reputation and his reputation and the Chilean church and all of this. I mean, these guys are apologizing every other week on scandals with countries and stuff. And I see this story and I thought, you know, I didn't even hear this in the news anywhere. It needs to be on our news. But, I mean, what's wrong with this picture, guys?
Everything.
I mean, nobody talks about this, but, you know, and then it's Jim. I mean, talk to me. Does this bother you at all? First of all, Jim, are you a good Catholic man?
No, I was just going to say I have to consult my rabbi before I answer this question.
So you're not a good, you're a lying Jew or you're a pissed off Protestant? Which one?
I'm definitely a nice Jewish boy that grew up on the East Coast. So.
Nice, so not a lying Jew, but a nice Jewish boy. Okay.
He's a nice Jewish boy. He is a nice Jewish boy.
Yeah, and you're a nice, and you converted to Judaism too, right, Eva?
I did, yes, I did. Yeah.
You were Catholic before then, though, right?
I was. And I still have a lot of vestiges of Catholicism in me. Mm-hmm. So you will hear me refer to things often biblically. And Jim and I actually have some very good conversations about this stuff. So
all right.
It's very important. But to get back to your Pope question, there are many things that the Catholic Church needs to clean up and fix. Mm-hmm. One of the things I'm very much for is having priests.
Is there sex abuse?
Yeah, well, I think priests should be married, for one thing.
Amen. Totally agree.
I like the model of Judaic belief, because mm-hmm. rabbis can be female or male.
Absolutely.
And they usually are married and have a family. Absolutely. And it's just much more interesting, I think.
Well, so, it's being human is what it is, Ava. It's being human.
Yes.
I mean, that's what it is. I mean, listen, I grew up in a Protestant church, the minister was, they were married, they had a family, they were normal. We didn't have those sex abuse cases. Now, we did have the minister who screwed around with the pianist, but at least that was an affair that was in the open, public open. So we were okay with that he, the minister had an affair with the pianist, you understand, or the organ.
It's when children.
Or maybe they use the organ of the pianist. I don't know. But anyways, we're going to pause and be back with more Nozzle in just a moment here. Well, the Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutLoud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Another one here, another trending story here today is hashtag National Enquirer. Now, when I see hashtag National Enquirer, I'm typically excited for that, because that means I'm going to get some real news. other than, the Lion Times. What does he call it? The fake Times, Ava, or something? Was it the fake? Lion? What does he call the Times again? He has a name.
I can't remember. But they're terrible. That's all I can say.
Jim, what's he called the Times again, the New York Times? Do you remember? No?
The failing
New York
Times. The
failing. Okay, sorry.
That's right.
I was going to say, it's a good thing you didn't go senile on us, Jim. Good, good. All right, so what was trending here is the National Enquirer, they paid $30,000 for an unverified tip about President Trump, but never ran the story, guys. Okay? All right? You mm-hmm. following me here? So the Enquirer now, and of course, I haven't, but the Enquirer, I need to get a subscription back to that. I missed the Enquirer, man. So I gotta get that one. And so they paid a former doorman at one of Trump's buildings in exchange for, $30,000, guys, in exchange mm-hmm. for an unverified. So you just make this shit up as you go, basically, is what this
right.
means. So in exchange for an unverified, but that's just Washington. Everything's unverified in Washington, so it's nothing, But it was an unverified tip. Listen to this now, kids. About President Trump now, POTUS, and the AP reports this now, so now it's really authentic because it's the AP. And what the doorman claimed is that President Trump allegedly now, and of course I love the word allegedly too. That means that we're confirming we know it's a lie, but we're going to say it anyway. So, okay, mm-hmm. it's allegedly. Yep. I love these words when they throw these around and then that he fathered a pack of wolves, a goat, a sheep. Fish, lion, no, kids, something. He fathered an employee's child, but the story was never published. Do you all believe this?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, no, that's a stretch.
Jim, you believe it, Jim?
Not at all. The man is, he's a womanizer, he's proven that, but I think it ends at a certain point with him. He has certain moral characters within him. I mean, he doesn't drink. He doesn't gamble, doesn't do a lot of things. And I don't think he really, unless he was in love with somebody, would not fool around and father a child just on a whim.
Wow. You know? I don't know. That one there is something else here. And again, you just hear what I'm saying.
I'm not buying that any more than I'm buying CNN or MSNBC.
Well,
or
this is, again,
that,
it's Associated Press. It's a story. I'm sure it'll be in the Times and everywhere else. But the Inquirer is paying $30,000. It's unbelievable. But unverified and allegedly. And you just got to love these words, the way they throw them around here. Listen, Whoopi Goldberg comes out and she says riots over special counsel Mueller's firing would be fun to watch.
Yeah, she'd have to watch it because she couldn't get out of her chair to participate.
Oh,
that's for sure.
Dear heavens. Well, wasn't that a slam? And
you see the size of this woman?
She's growing. She's grown up a
My
lot.
My goodness.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when you sit on your ass all day and bitch about everybody, you're going to get fat, Ava. The hell you want from me, right? Jim,
oh
you,
my God.
Jim, you have, you, what?
That, you know, Whoopi has gone right off the end of the world. I mean, she did those Star Trek things and then gone and out into space. And the jobs that she did that day, walking off under her own power when O'Reilly was on the show, that was sort of amazing.
She was on Star Trek. That was she had the point. Did she have pointy ears? Was she the Vulcan there? What role did she play?
Yeah, she ran the bar.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
She ran the bar. And she was the center of gossip, everybody would go talk to your bartender type of thing. But she's very close to being gone off the View, and I don't know how much longer the View's gonna be.
Well, the View, they're loving
ABC
this stuff.
They just axed Joy, the other gal.
Is she gone? What do you mean? She's gone?
When the shows that are in the can are finished,
right,
and they probably have it a couple of weeks ahead. She's gone. ABC gave her the
answer. Oh, and I like Joy a lot, Jim.
Really?
Oh,
yes.
Man,
my God.
That show's not going to be the same now, bud.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Good.
Yeah, but just think of the news points, the talking points we lose, buddy. I mean, these people keep us all in business.
True.
You know, you got to look at it that way, Jim. There's always an upside, you know, to this stuff.
Yeah,
right?
The circus will leave town. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's always an upside.
Well, the three biggest thieves in the country are Fallon and Colbert and Kimmel. You know, they're just stealing from their writers. I mean, they don't have to do anything. All they do is read.
They don't have writers anymore. They read the New York Times, bro. That's what they read. That's where they get their material from, the New York Times. And that's all they're saying. I don't watch them anymore. I find them disgusting.
Oh,
they're ridiculous.
Absolutely.
And it's a one-sided program, and I'm tired of it, and I'm not going to watch them. And I used to like them. It's a shame.
I have not enjoyed comedy since, what's his name? Oh, God.
Johnny Carson?
Johnny Carson.
He was my favorite. Yes. He was my favorite.
I have
love Johnny.
I have some old Johnny Carson CDs or DVDs or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're really, really funny.
Oh, he was amazing. I mean, that was talent right there, Ava. That's talent.
My mom was a huge fan of Johnny Carson. Yeah. So.
Well, but because when you can do Johnny Carson and you don't have to use four-letter words and you can, I mean, and you're funny, that takes talent, man. That's talent.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah, he was great.
Oh, he was fun. And yeah. The other one that was pretty good, but never was Carson, was Jay Leno was good too, Ava. He was really good. You know?
Yeah.
Jay
yeah.
Leno.
I used to watch him once in a while. Yeah. But yeah. See, I'm not a late night person.
No, you're a morning person. You go to bed early. But you're on the farm out there, up there in Never Never Land. So
you're that's true.
You're in the farm. And so they shut the lights off early there. It's like the Motel 6 people, you know? They shut the lights off. That's where they got it from, the Motel 6 people. They build it in the suburban area of, well, any suburban. It's actually called the Woods. It's not suburban. It's the Woods. The Woods. That's a whole other district, Jim, you know?
Yes.
I couldn't do the Woods, Jim. I like the Woods. I can fly to the Woods, but I got to live with the people. Yeah, I'm a people guy. You understand? You know?
I do.
Yeah, I got to be with the people. I'm an urbanite there. But I love to, but what I want to do, Ava, I want to leave the top of the penthouse in my helicopter, and I want to be able to fly to the Woods. You understand? So I like the Woods, but then I want to leave the Woods. You see? Then I want
right,
to leave the Woods.
Exactly.
And I want to go back to the, you know, the top of the penthouse.
You want to travel back and forth, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. That's what
I could never stand about Los Angeles. No matter how many hours you drove in the car, you could not get away from the noise and the masses in the crowd. You know, that whole San Diego to Malibu is just highways, concrete, people. That's it. And terrible.
Well, listen, I got to, while you're on California, I got to tell you guys something important, because before we get to these other items here, and this was, listen to this. This is kind of interesting now. We've heard a lot of talk about this. We've been discussing California. You know, we talk about, will it secede? They're not going to secede the nation. That's ridiculous. But there's been a lot of talk about them, you know, splitting the state up. Well, now this billionaire, his name is Tim Draper. And he made a lot of money off of like Skype and Hotmail and stuff like that. So he has got the signatures way over. He's like 600,000 signatures. You only need 360 to make this happen. He's well over that. And he is just about ready now. It looks like he's going to be able to do it and put this on the ballot to take California and actually split it into three states. So it'll be dumb, dumber, and dumbest. And that's what they're going to call the three states. Yeah. So it's going to be a whole new chicken. So that's where that Hollywood movie comes from, Jim, you know? Dumb, dumber, and dumbest. Yeah.
So one part of the state, Cal, another part of the state, Roar, and the other one,
Well, so he got
– he's L.A., you'll use the
Probably the Hollywood elite out there. But listen, so he's a venture capitalist. He's got this initiative, and it's to break up, again, the Golden State here. He's got all these signatures now, and he's going to get it on the ballot in November. And, you know, he said, we don't care what you call it. Now, people are saying, well, you'll call one North Carolina, one South Carolina, or maybe one Central Carolina, California. maybe there's something about Carolina I don't know, Jim. I don't know. But California. So what do you think? Is there any hope for this? I mean, do you think this is just a pipe dream? Jim, you lived out there. Is this a pipe dream, or could this really, really happen?
There's a lot of traction for it out there these days. I mean, there's a lot of parts of the state that think they're disenfranchised for a long time because Los Angeles Basin, San Francisco pretty much have the majority of the population in those areas, and the rest of the state's, you know, taking what's left over. So there could be, you know, some traction. The one problem they run into is even though they raise the money for these propositions on the ballot, the idea goes to a committee in Sacramento who frames and writes the proposition. So they're quote unquote neutral. But all the years that I lived in California and saw propositions that went on the ballot, they were anything but neutral. They always had a liberal bent to them.
All right. Now, let's talk about some serious stuff. Now, let's get serious, Ava. Are you ready?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, this is the stuff we should have talked about right now that I'm going to talk to you about.
Is she still naked? Is she still naked?
No, we don't do that kind of show, Jim, here. No.
But
this is where we should have started the show at 6 o'clock. So let's talk about – so I want to talk to you about Syria very much. You see the story, the MIT expert claiming that the – okay, so the claim is that these latest chemical weapons, that they were staged potentially. And this is a professor emeritus at the Massachusetts Institution of Technology, postal here. He issued a series of reports in response to the White House's finding that the President Bashar al-Assad perpetrated the attack. What do you think about this, Ava? Is there any truth to this, you think, or what?
I think if you go back in your radio shows, I already said this.
You did.
But yeah,
you did.
I did.
You did.
I do think that this attack was to provoke President Trump into something that, you know, we shouldn't be doing.
Well, then we're making the wrong decision then, Ava. We shouldn't be doing this
I think the more that our generals and our military intelligence learn about this attack, the more we're going to realize that maybe we should stand down and, you know, just not take the bait here. Okay.
Well, that's what our buddy also, Dennis Santiago, says. He put a tweet out a bit ago on this, Aver, and he said, this is muddy stuff. Speaking of exactly what we're talking about, he said, questions about the physical evidence, worth a war? Maybe not. So he's suggesting that as well, that it's probably not worth a war, right?
Yeah. Right, exactly.
You know, as soon as I heard people from the left and the right and everybody saying, we have to attack, in strength, we can't do it like we did last year. It has to be much broader. It has to be much more aggressive. We have to take out their entire air force and their entire military infrastructure.
No.
Then I knew, okay, wait, the left is saying this. It's being broadcast on MSNBC. I said, this has to be a setup.
Right.
You look at
a lot of people are thinking that way.
This would be one more thing. They would try to drive a nail
Well, you
in
can't win.
Trump's coffin.
Yeah, you can't win, Jim, no matter what you do. I mean, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. No matter what the man does. I mean, he could mail them all $1 million and, you know, kiss their ass in the wind of Central Park as the wind is blowing at 90 miles an hour. They're still not going to like the guy, you know? It doesn't matter what he does.
Yeah,
you know?
I've been tweeting about this for days and days. You can go on my timeline and look back for days and days.
Yeah.
And I've been tweeting directly to Trump and telling him, don't take the bait.
I know.
Don't take the bait.
He could send them a lifetime subscription to Stormy's favorite magazine and give them a peanut butter subscription, and they're still not going to like it, I'm telling you here.
No.
What do you both think about Devin Nunes and the committee there getting these? What do you, Ava, you've been following this here today. Tell me what's going on with this.
Yeah.
What's
happening? Well, Devin Nunes got the 2 pages that he requested, but there were some things redacted from it. They need a non-redacted piece of paper.
Now, they said they only redacted a foreign country in the name of a foreign agent.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they said. They're supposed to do that by law. Of course, those are the culprits we're looking for, right?
That is pertinent.
I know.
It's pertinent to the investigation. You cannot redact it.
Exactly.
So
they
have to really give this stuff up, okay? And this is foot dragging again. It's all it is. I would not be surprised to see Devin Nunes pull the trigger and have these guys impeached.
I think it's time to send Clint Eastwood in there. I'm tired of it.
I know.
Send Clint in, Jim. It's time to send the big guns in, don't you think?
Yes, definitely. I think that what we're looking at here is a much broader, quote-unquote, conspiracy within Washington.
Yes.
I was talking to Ava the other day. When Trump came down the escalator in July of 15, people started lining up against him. He took on 16 other GOP candidates. Nobody thought that he was going to be the one to come
Republican
out on top
stooges,
of that.
Stooges, you mean?
They just were, you know, the
they
Bush family
trip
was
him
going
on the
up.
Escalator.
They wanted to do that.
But they didn't trip him.
When
he just
he
came
won
down the escalator.
Nomination, you look at when these emails started at the FBI and other things started happening in Washington. When he won the nomination, even before he won the nomination, they started lining up against him. And I think you have not only people on the left, but there are definitely people on the right. McConnell, I mean, McConnell comes out in January and says, we're not going to be able to tackle any more serious legislation in 2018 because it's an election year.
And he's
what
got 300 bills. He's
doing?
Got 300 bills on his desk. 300.
Yeah. I think McConnell takes the bills to the bathrooms and wipes his ass with them. That's what I think.
Oh, God. I'll tell you what.
That would be better than what he's doing.
No,
with
I think
now.
That's what he's doing. I don't think he buys toilet paper anymore. I believe he's using the bills because he's got to be doing something with them, Jim. Come on. He's using them as toilet paper, I'm telling you.
Well, his days are numbered. His days are
Which is
numbered.
Why he's turning red. I think the harshness of the paper is turning his skin red. If you notice, he's turning red a lot lately. Do you notice that when he talks? And I think it's the paper that's turning him red, Ava.
Well, I've been driving a lot of tweets toward his Twitter feed. Whether or not anybody reads them, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, his days are numbered, and our memories are very good and very long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to be a flower in the forest and the woods and piss you off, I'll tell you. You'd cut my head off and put me in a little glass container. So what they
I'd
do
I'd do
is
it very gently, though. You wouldn't even know it was
happening. Like a dandelion, right? Like a little dandelion. Yeah. There you go, you little dandelion. You look cute. Sit there, you little
black widow.
Yeah, something a black widow, yeah. Well, listen, we're out of time to even talk about Paul Ryan, but you know, did you all hear he's leaving?
Yes.
Yeah, all right. I knew you.
And I'm very happy.
Now they're saying that he's probably going to resign in midsummer. Mm-hmm. Well, what else is he going to do? I mean, he's not going to run for office. Congress will be all off out of session all that time anyway, because they're all be off.
He's going to do what they always do up there, Jim. Nothing. Nothing. That's what they always do.
And Trump can do all his recess appointments.
Yeah. All right. Who wants to go first with predictions?
I will.
Okay.
I predict there will be no response to the Syrian crisis.
Wow. Well, you've seen the tweet where he sort of backed off, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe not, he says. Yeah, you got to love this stuff. Yeah. Wouldn't that be funny after getting Russia all in a flimsy and he puts it out there and then he doesn't do it? Jim, what do you think about that strategy? Is that good? And what's your prediction? You got 10 seconds.
I agree. I think that Trump is going to put major forces in the Mediterranean in that area. He's going to bring back a couple carrier groups. Mm-hmm. And The Russians have, I think, 11 warships there. At this time, I think we have two or three guided missile frigates or whatever they call them these days.
What's your
And
language?
then he will not do anything, but the Russians will be forced to back down.
We'll see you here tomorrow, same time, same place, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Nazem Allah.